This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
On your mind, another hour for the state capitol, Bismarck today. Love being at the state capitol. Lots of action happening. But it's not all here. I see in Stanley, North Dakota today, Senator Kevin Cramer is going to be chatting with students, little town hall of students at 11 o'clock today in Stanley. That's neat. And then 1 o'clock this afternoon over at that Pinnacle Travel Center, Coffee with Cramer. So come on by and have a chat with Senator Kevin Cramer. That's at 1. Town hall with the students at 11. 1 o'clock at Pinnacle Travel Center, Stanley, with Senator Kevin Cramer up there today doing another one of his town halls. They continue, even as a senator. We love seeing that. All right. Well, we have spent a fair amount of program time during the state legislature this year talking about comprehensive energy solutions. And today we have three segments with North Dakotans for Comprehensive Energy Solutions who support an all-of-the-above energy policy in North Dakota. That's wind, coal, oil, and gas. And I want to answer your questions. We've assembled a lot of questions, and sometimes they come in late when we're on. We don't get a quick chance to answer them. And today we thought we're just going to do nothing but your questions. So you can call them in if you like at 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550, or you can email studio at whatsonyourmindradio.com. Studio at whatsonyourmindradio.com will get to us as well. Answering the questions today for us are the experts. They are Tammy Eibach, who is the director of North Dakotans for Comprehensive Energy Solutions. Good morning, Tammy.
Hey, good morning, Hannon. How are you?
I'm doing well. And Robert Harms is here, policy advisor, long history of working in energy policy for a couple of governors, Schaefer and Hoven. Remember them? I do. Bob, nice to see you.
Good morning, Scott.
Thanks
good
for being here. And, you know, we get these sometimes off the air, too. You know, we get an email forwarded, and I've sent all of them on to Tammy and Bob and just said, you know, here. I like getting answers for our listeners. I pride myself on if they ask an answer, you know, ask. Ideally, it's on the air because then it benefits many more people that have the same question. But sometimes we have to get it to you off here. So we just took all of them and said, we're going to answer them here. So if you send in a question, chances are you're going to get your answer today on the program. And as I say, if you don't hear it, give us a call and we'll make sure we get to it that way at 701-258-0550. Ready to go, guys?
You bet.
All right, this one didn't come in all that long ago. It said that Europe and Germany started all of the above energy policy and eventually only wind remained. Now they have, these giant electricity costs. So, we're going the way of Europe here. We're going to end up with nothing but wind, and then we're going to have ginormous energy costs. Is that a accurate depiction of what's happening in Europe and Germany and our track?
Scott, great description of what's going on in Europe, but not in the U.S. Big difference in North Dakota and the United States is that Germany dictated prices for wind above market, and Germany also mandated that the market use wind, so higher prices and mandated the resource. We don't have those drivers in the U.S. We don't have any price mandate from the United States government, and so the private sector can choose the energy source that it wants to use, and so that's what's going on. That certainly is affected because of the production tax credits available under federal law, but a big difference in the market and the mandates in Germany that don't exist here in America.
Tammy, anything you want to add to that?
No, I think it's a solid answer.
Okay, so second question is, and this one came in not long ago, suggesting that we had 60,000 wind turbines that were inoperable. And this person was saying, this is a big problem. So how many wind turbines are in the United States? Maybe we start there.
Sure. We have, according to the Wind Energy Association of America, we have 57,000 operable wind turbines in America. For someone to say that there are 60,000 that are inoperable, they're getting fake news somewhere. It's kind of a preposterous kind of statement. We're going to work today to just provide the facts.
Yeah, okay. So only 57,000 total. As far as any that are inoperable, that's part of the bond, is it not? You know, so in other words, if one stopped working, there'd be a bond that would say, okay, you know, you have the funds to take it down?
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right.
And decommissioning, and as it's officially called, right?
Decommissioning and repowering is probably a little more accurate these days, because some of the wind farms that are probably of concern is the old ones that were put up 20, 30 years ago. But what's going on is those wind farms are still valuable, and they're being repowered. So they're taking down old, inefficient wind turbines and putting up the newer models that are much more efficient than the ones that were put up 20, 30 years ago.
Do we know how many are inoperable? I mean, this person said 60, and as you said, Tammy, they obviously have a bum number there, because 57,000 is the total, so it's certainly not 60, but do we know what the number is?
We don't have a solid answer on that, and the research that we were able to compile over the last few days is we're looking at something less than 4,000, but that doesn't mean that they are permanently inoperable. As Robert said, some are shut down for a duration because they might be doing retrofits to a turbine head. They might be doing something else to upgrade a facility, but there's no confirmed data on as to one wind farm that's just no longer in existence, just sitting there.
Okay, here's another one. And way back when we started about talking about doing this regularly, my question was, you know, when you say North Dakotans for comprehensive energy solutions, what does that mean? All of the above. We want everything. So you're not out to say wind's better than coal or coal. No, we want to be in the mix. We want to be one of the mix. So a lot of questions that come in about coal, because coal is revered here, and I revere it too. I mean, the lignite industry has got a strong standing with North Dakotans because of its long history there. So the questions that have come in have been things like the following. Is wind squeezing out coal? Will the coal industry be shut down as a result of wind in as soon as 10 years? Answer?
I would say no, and a couple of reasons to say that. Wind is, as the listeners know, is an intermittent resource, and so it needs to be backstopped by some power, whether it's nuclear or coal or natural gas or something like that. But the other thing that's going on, we were very wise in locating the coal plants here in North Dakota next to the coal mines. So North Dakota has a unique advantage. We ship electrons on power lines, as opposed to trying to ship coal via rail. And so those coal plants in North Dakota are very efficient and are well placed nationally. Now, is coal being displaced on a national level by wind? I would have to say yes, in some degree. But the bigger challenge for coal nationally is really natural gas. We'll get into some details about that. But and then the other thing I just want to share with the listeners, we talked about this a little bit last week, but in 2017, North Dakota coal industry mined more coal than it has since 2009. They had 4.8% annual growth in 2017. We learned 10 days ago that they'll have similar growth in 2018. So the North Dakota coal mines are doing well in North Dakota. Now, how that translates into the national scene, I can't really speak to that. But in North Dakota, I don't see a North Dakota without a strong presence in coal for years and years to come.
Similar question, I guess, here. Are wind jobs eliminating coal jobs?
Absolutely not, Scott. What we see is, we can't, like Robert said, we can't imagine North Dakota without coal. And much of what happens with coal has policy driven at a federal level. And many of the coal plants have invested millions to improve their emissions. We need strong policy at the federal and state levels to secure our energy future. We can't put one source ahead of the other or neighbor against neighbor, and we should develop attitudes and strategies and policies to help North Dakota sell more power to the rest of North Dakota.
This question I don't remember the origin of. Maybe you do. What should we do? What should we do? What do they mean by that?
Well, I think their question is, so we have this this narrative, this conversation going on in North Dakota for the last couple of years. Do we stop wind development in order to protect coal, or do we do something else? And I think the answer is we try to do what the name suggests, all of the above energy. To Tammy's point, we try to develop policy strategies to do just that, sell more power to the rest of America. But we really have two choices. One, you can leave the coal in the ground or develop it. Well, we think that we'd want to develop it. Or you can not develop wind in the hopes that you're going to protect coal. Well, the second premise, the idea that you can stop wind development in order to protect coal, really isn't valid, because what will happen is those wind investments will be lost to North Dakota, number one, and then number two, to the extent wind does compete with coal, it's going to be that investment's going to be made in Iowa or South Dakota or other states and sold into those two dozen markets where North Dakota sells power at present.
Short break. Come back with more of our conversation with Bob Harms and Tammy Ibach, North Dakotans for Comprehensive Energy Solutions. Our conversation today centering around your questions that have come in during all of these segments over the last number of weeks. And if you have any others, they're certainly welcome at 701-258-0550. You can also text me at 701-367-2054 if you prefer that. 701-367-2054. Or again, call 701-258-0550. Studio at whatsonyourmindradio.com. Studio at whatsonyourmindradio.com for your email questions and comments. Back with more from the state capitol today on What's On Your Mind after this timeout. Don't go away.
Help preserve your wealth. Successful investing requires more than just selecting the right stocks or bonds. It also requires avoiding big mistakes that can harm your financial future. Call Collins & Kronk to get your free no-obligation report, The 8 Great Financial Mistakes and How to Avoid Them. Let the advisors at Collins & Kronk explain some common pitfalls investors make, and more importantly, how to avoid them. Steering clear of any of these key mistakes could greatly improve your ability to reach your investing goals. Given the current news and the uncertainty in the financial markets, you may wonder how you'll keep your own portfolio on track to help meet your financial goals. Get the free no-obligation report, The 8 Great Financial Mistakes and How to Avoid Them. Call the advisors at Collins & Kronk today and ask for the report. Collins & Kronk, 701-235-0119. 701-235-0119. Collins & Kronk is not a registered broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services. Securities offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., located 300 NP Avenue, Fargo, Suite 108.
Welcome to Soybean Minute, your source for timely soybean news.
Hello, I'm United Soybean Board Director Jared Haggard of Emerado. And I'd like you to know in 2019, three of North Dakota's four director positions are open for nomination. This is an exciting opportunity for soybean producers to get involved with their industry. All checkoff paying soybean producers in North Dakota are eligible to apply. The farmer directors of USB oversee the investments of the soy checkoff to maximize profit opportunities for all U.S. soybean farmers. For more information about USB, visit their website at unitedsoybean.org. To be considered for the national leadership positions, farmers must complete and return the required nomination paperwork to the North Dakota Soybean Council office by or before 4 p.m. Monday, April 1, 2019. Please visit ndsoybean.org for nomination paperwork or call the office at 701-566-9300 for more information.
This message is brought to you by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the Soybean Checkoff.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
We're back on What's On Your Mind. I want to tell you about the North Dakota Safety Council and WSI Safety Calendar, because we like our listeners. We want them home with their families at night. That's right. That's why we tell you about things like the Alive at 25 defensive driving course. That's a good one. Do you know in North Dakota in 2017, one teen driver crash occurred every 3 hours?
One teen died in a crash every 37 days. These numbers are not acceptable. The most dangerous year of your teen's life will be the first year they have their license. Make sure they have the knowledge to keep themselves safe behind the wheel. Register them for the North Dakota Safety Council's Alive at 25 course. You'll sleep better at night. Trust me on this one thing. There's a course coming up in Williston on April 7th. Others available if you go to ndsc.org. North Dakota Safety Council, private nonprofit, WSI, and workforcesafety.com, doing some great work, and we appreciate them bringing you the Safety Minutes. Back with our guest from North Dakotans for Comprehensive Energy Solutions. We have some calls coming in. We'll start there, and Lee in Bismarck, you're next for our guest. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. Say, I'd like to bring this information up and get a little discussion. The coal plant that got shut down was being converted to natural gas, and I've got people that work out here in Beulah, and they're telling me that the 500 million BTU flare-off per day in the Bakken field is a prime fit to fund or provide natural gas to the mining operation and virtually shut down the mining operation. It would be beneficial for the state and revenue, the flaring, the production of the Bakken field, anywhere from 10 to 12,000 more production wells. And it's a no-brainer because all we're waiting for is somebody to get in office like Obama did. And look at how many coal mine plants he shut down. So, and then lastly, if you're not aware of this, the MLS for the Beulah area takes an average of 2 years, easy to check what I'm saying, 2 years to sell houses. So the normal guy out there working, they've heard this scuttlebutt before, and I think it's something to it since Bismarck Tribune had the article that mine was too old and it cost too much, so they are converting it to be fueled by natural gas. I'd like to hear what your response is. Thank you.
Well, Scott Lee is absolutely right. The natural gas that North Dakota produces is certainly a resource that is going to be accessed and utilized eventually. I, for one, have been long advocating that we make better use of the natural gas that we do produce in North Dakota. And he's right also, the recent closing of the Heskett station is going to be replaced with a natural gas generator here in North Dakota. One thing that some folks would advocate, though, that natural gas, it's foolish to use it to generate electricity because it's more efficient to use it in my home because I'll get 98% efficiency using natural gas making my furnace run as opposed to converting it to electricity. But Lee's right, and eventually that is going to become part of the energy mix in North Dakota would be my guess. We have two natural gas peaking plants in North Dakota at present. They're small, but we're beginning to see that evolution in the energy sector in North Dakota.
I'm just did I hear you say, Lee, though, the buzz that you're hearing amongst your circle is that there'll be more Heskett stations that people are saying that there'll be more of these that'll be converted to natural gas?
Absolutely. The thing about it is that you were talking about a national movement on the environment, EPA, we're going to all die in 12 years and whatever. You're trying to fight a political war right along with an economical war. And I know the people that are working on the expansion of the natural gas line because for everybody, from mineral owners to the state of North Dakota, for more revenue, it's a plus, plus, plus. And unfortunately, that means that there's going to be a lot of transition on employees out there that are operating on the bulldozers, land reclamation stuff. It's not a pretty sight, but what I'm concerned about is that instead of putting your head in the sand to start thinking about what the city of Beulah and Hazen and that area is, but there are those, and I'm in the oil business, there are those that know that the Bakken field does geologically move closer and closer to Beulah. And so there is a possibility that, you know, the economics of the Beulah area and lost employees might get converted over to getting them into the oil industry.
Sure, Lee, I appreciate your call. I mean, obviously it's a question probably for the operators of the plant who are not necessarily going to, I don't know. It sounds pretty far-fetched to me, Bob. Does it you?
Well, and I'd like to respond to that, too. I'm with you, Scott, on that deal. I guess I see the current fleet of power plants in North Dakota having made the upgrades, the requirements of the environmental regulations required by the federal government. I think those that remain in the fleet are going to be very, very competitive. So I'm going to leave it up to the folks at GRE or Basin or MDU. They'll make those decisions. But the Heskett example is kind of unique because that was a kind of a dinosaur.
Yeah,
a dinosaur.
60 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. Appreciate the call, though, Lee. We'll keep our ear to the ground. I wouldn't be putting my house up for sale, though.
I agree.
If I were you, I think you got decades of good work from a great industry to come there. Ralph in Wimbledon, North Dakota, for our guests. Go ahead.
I would like to know, on this wind versus coal, how many tons of coal does it take to smelt the steel to make the tower for the windmill?
You know, Ralph, I don't have an answer for that. It's a big question, but we can have all kinds of scenarios about that. How much oil does it take to do anything? How much petroleum does it take to make a car? We don't know.
Well, it's just that there was recently a wind farm put up in our area, and there was a lot of diesel fuel involved in getting that thing started, and I'm sure the coal to smelt steel.
Sure.
That's a good thing, isn't it?
It's all got to work together. I realize
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
You bet.
All of the above. That's
yeah.
that's your singing the same tune, I think, right?
Will the towers that go up in the future support the coal industry? Will there be enough towers to keep... I mean, it's going to lessen the impact of the coal that isn't used for electric generation, but...
Well, Ralph, I guess I would take issue with that. Your scenario is it's an either or, and our scenario is that it's both. If we're smart in North Dakota, that we figure out the policies, the practices, the strategies, how we can produce more electricity with North Dakota coal, with North Dakota wind, with North Dakota natural gas, we're well placed for that. We are a huge energy powerhouse. So let's figure out how do we sell more electricity made in North Dakota to Minnesota and Michigan and Arkansas and Oklahoma and all the other states that we sell to. That's kind of the scenario that I think we're promoting.
Thanks, Ralph. Let's go to Doug and Wishick. Your question?
I don't have a question. I have a statement.
Okay. Go ahead.
When a man destroys a work of art, he's called a vandal. When he destroys a work of nature, he's called a developer.
So your solution would be no energy development?
I'm probably off topic here. I probably should have picked a different time yet.
Oh, no. I mean, if I guess you could make the argument that sure. If you put up wind towers or you mine coal or you, drill for oil, that you're, quote-unquote, destroying nature. I mean, I think the industry's proven they do a pretty good job of coexisting. And you know, look at reclamation in the coal industry. You can't hardly tell sometimes where, you know, land has been reclaimed. So, anyway, Doug, thanks for that. James in Bismarck, Kenny in Stanley, and more coming up.
North Dakota is rich with natural resources. Fertile soil, oil, coal, natural gas, and wind energy. North Dakota has a lot of it, with wind farms in 27 counties. Renewable energy is an increasingly important part of an all-of-the-above energy strategy. The Public Service Commission should support wind development to move North Dakota to become energy dominant. Wind energy, good for you, our communities, our economy. Message brought to you by North Dakotans for Comprehensive Energy Solutions.
It's time to visit your Northern Region New Holland dealer and see the latest over 100 horsepower tractors from New Holland. They use leading-edge EcoBlue engine technology for increased power, torque, and fuel efficiency, as well as Tier 4B emissions compliance. That's New Holland Smart. Choose from T7, Genesis T8, and T9 series tractors up to 620 rated horsepower. Explore the power of blue today at your local Northern Region New Holland dealer.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Three people killed, several others hurt, and a gunman on the loose in the Netherlands after a shooting on a Netherlands tram that Dutch authorities are calling a terroristic act. Police are searching for a 37-year-old Turkish suspect, his photos being circulated online. President Trump tweeting lots of things this morning, including a reaction to word that Vice President Joe Biden misspoke himself during an appearance in Dover, Delaware on Saturday.
I have the most progressive record of anybody running for the United States. If anybody who would run.
Biden saying that, though he has not officially announced that he's running for the White House yet, the president sends him a dig, calling him low IQ Joe Biden, saying he got tongue-tied and was unable to properly deliver a very simple line. And this is USA Radio News.
Step up your style with some of our best savings on quality flooring at Lumber Liquidators. Save 15% on all premium Bellawood hardwood floors from only $3.99 a square foot. Or save 15% on our best bamboo Morningstar Ultra. And let our professional installation team do the work for you. Plus, special financing helps make your tax refund go even further. Visit LumberLiquidators.com for a store near you. Lumber Liquidators. Beautiful floors for less.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.5%, APR 4.78%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. A 2% fee received as discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Before the top of the hour, rolling on with another hour of What's on Your Mind, the most listened to radio program on the Northern Plains. Thank you for that, by the way. We appreciate you. High Plains Apache bringing you our program today. High Plains Apache is the place for Apache sprayers. And you know what? You'll be in the field, even with a wet spring that looks like we're going to have here soon. You'll be in the field long before your neighbors if you have an Apache sprayer. So that's reason number 1,155. To get in there today and check them out. Call them in Mandan, 663-2375. Or you can stop and see them south of Fargo Frontier, exit 60, across from Walmart, and across from Culver's in Mandan. All right, 27 before the top of the hour. Back to the calls in a moment, but I want to get to this letter that came in. And I guess it wasn't a letter, it was a long email. And I'll try and summarize this. But it was basically getting to the question of what is the cost versus benefit of wind. We should be talking about cost versus benefit, period. How much are we as taxpayers and consumers paying for those wind turbines? The production tax credit is far from the only subsidy going to wind. There are 80 different programs across 9 federal agencies that provide wind breaks, loan guarantees, preferred energy subsidies, and other economic assistance courtesy of U.S. taxpayers. Cost versus benefit. Bob, Tammy, what would you say?
Well, the caller is right that we should be concerned about the cost to the federal taxpayers, which we should be concerned about any federal spending subsidies, whether it's food, electric cars, and so forth. But it is federal policy at present, well beyond our control for now. And we've said in previous programs that the production tax credit is coming to an end this year, unless the companies use some sort of safe harbor provisions. She's right. We should be looking at that from a consumption standpoint. But just to give you a couple of other details on the response. So the wind production tax credit incentives that the federal government has provided over the last 20 years has resulted in $140 billion investment in the U.S. It's got 100,000 jobs in the U.S. The National Energy Renewable Laboratory has demonstrated time and time again that wind farms have a relatively modest carbon footprint. They return their carbon footprint within about 6 months. She's right, but we got to put this production tax credit to bed once and for all. It goes away at the end of this year. It will be meted out over a 10-year period, provided you can get your wind farm started by the end of 2019.
Did we want Bob to say anything about Doug and Wyshek's suggestion that energy development was destroying nature,
oh,
Tammy?
Absolutely. Robert?
Well, yeah, we were talking.
He had a good story for us, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, we were talking offline, and when I was working for Governor Schaefer, we were having a debate about some policy issue, and Lieutenant Governor Rosemary Murdahl, who I just adore, you know, we were talking about energy development. She said, you know, one of the things that I don't like is to be hungry, cold, or in the dark. And that's exactly right. We in North Dakota have been through a great evolution in our state, and now we are an energy powerhouse. We want to do things right, but we want to develop all of our resources.
Some common sense from that woman.
Absolutely.
Great lady. That's for sure. Served this state well. I don't like being cold, hungry, and in the dark either. Do you, Tim?
Scott, neither do I,
okay,
and I
good.
Work diligently to make sure that I am not.
Just checking here. Kenny and Stanley, go ahead for our guests.
Yeah, good morning. I have a comment about the production of natural gas in the Bakken. You know, I've been around in the oil patch many years. My comment is natural gas coming out of those wells is highly dangerous to produce and store and transport. And I have questions about how it can be a viable solution to our energy needs.
Well, this is Harms. I guess, Kenny, I grew up in Tioga. I've been around natural gas for 40 years, and I agree with you. It's dangerous, and we have to handle it carefully, but we've been doing that for decades. We've got a dozen natural gas plants all over northwestern North Dakota, natural gas pipelines that go throughout our state. We just need to be more innovative and creative in terms of the remaining natural gas that we are burning each year. And so I agree with you, but I think that natural gas is going to get we're going to have some more thoughts about how to use that we see being burned up there each day.
Appreciate the call, Kenny. Thank you. Texter said this is the previous question. How do I get a wind farm on my property or land?
Love that question. And one of the best things they can do is they can form a coalition of their neighboring farmers, landowners around them, start talking about it, create an opportunity, start talking to some of the developers in this state, whether it be the Tradewinds people. They put together a project group of landowners up in Williams County, and Tradewinds got a hold of it, and so now they have a viable wind farm up there. So talk to developers, Tradewinds, NextEra, Apex, any of them. But start talking to your neighbors first.
Another, wind farms decrease rural property values, do they?
No, there's no evidence proving that statement. We've researched it to try and see if we could find anything that verified that assertion. We don't find anything. There's a couple places you can look at as your listener. If they've got an interest, you go to Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory. They've done a half a dozen studies, whether it's on homes or rural property. But Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratories, numerous studies that come to the conclusion that there's no data that supports that notion.
All right, let's take another call. Let's see, James Bismarck, go ahead. You're up on What's on Your Mind, James.
Well, I got a statement as well, I guess. Anybody that's looked at, like, the MISO footprint, which some of the power companies put in around here in February when it was 25 below, only 4% of our electricity came from wind. The majority, over half, was coal, nuclear, a little bit of natural gas. At that same time, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania had low natural gas pressure. Turn your thermostat down to 60. What do you think is going to happen when you take these coal plants off, put on more natural gas? It's still a fossil fuel, but are you going to turn your thermostat down to keep your lights on? Only so much electricity can leave the state as well. On the other side of that token, there's a reason MDU and the other companies are asking for rate increases. I thought that energy is free. It's not. The MDU asked for rate increases in 26 out of 28 of their districts. I don't understand. It's supposed to be free. It should be decreasing.
All right, a few
We're
comments.
One last thing.
Sure.
If you look at the model of Germany, they went somewhat back to coal because they couldn't do it. And, you know, up in this country here, it gets cold. We want to make sure we do it right. Thank you.
Thank you, James. Appreciate that. A few comments in there. Tammy, Bob?
Well, we can talk about what happened with this last polar vortex, and it's true that coal had to subsidize any of the wind, because the turbines, when they get to a certain temperature, don't function. That's just part of the mechanics of that. But we can also look back, and I've told this story before. 2014, there was a polar vortex that hit the Great Plains region, and one of the coal plants in that area shut down. But wind contributed 6,000 megawatts to the 2014 polar vortex. So it comes back to that comment that we continually make with these listeners is we need to have an all-of-the-above energy policy. Coal needs to work with wind. Wind needs to work with oil. Oil needs to work with natural gas. And the goal is to work in tandem to support each other. Because when you do that, what the goal, end goal is to make sure that the electricity rates that I pay are some of the most affordable in the country. And that's what I want. I want my house to be warm. I want to pay an affordable price.
And just to add a couple of things to that, Scott, Tammy's exactly right, all of the above. And James is right, that cold snap where we got 20 below, and the wind turbines are designed to not function at 20 below zero.
I don't function either at 20 below.
Well, yeah. But North Dakotans generally are used to functioning at that
yeah.
temperature. But the other point, so all of the above makes that work because of the multi-state market that we operate in. And then the second thing, his comment with regard to rates. The rate is a result of the capital expenditure that was necessary to build the wind farm, whether it was a wind farm or a coal plant or a natural gas plant. Our utility company has to take tens of millions or hundreds of millions of dollars and invest it in that facility. That is a reflection of your electric bill. Now, the other part of it is what energy source, but that energy source, whether it's on its wind, is a reflection of what happens, and PSC has talked about this many times. The rate increase you're looking at is lower than it would be otherwise on a different energy source. Last comment, he's right about Germany, and we talked about that at the beginning of the program. Germany doesn't apply because we don't mandate price. We don't mandate the use of wind. And so Germany, that's a good example
Germany
to go to school on.
Germany was a failed experiment.
That's exactly right, and we should go to school on.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Not repeated here. All right, yep. We have a couple minutes left here, so we're going to go lightning round through here. Larry in Fargo, go ahead, you're next.
Who pays for the transmission lines from the collection point for these wind farms to the city limits, like in Fargo?
Short version is that is a very complicated analysis, but essentially the producer pays for the cost of connecting to the grid.
Well, but where is that connection point considered? Is it at the field or some transmission substation in the neighborhood of the wind field? You look at North Dakota's got this high-power line that was installed a number of years ago all the way down to Minneapolis.
Yep, CapEx.
Is the windmill farm paying for that?
Some of it, but again, it's a very common. I've talked with the North Dakota Transmission Authority, and have heard numerous conversations about this. But the short version is, if you are a producer, whether you're natural gas or wind or coal plant, and the transmission grid requires an upgrade to accommodate your energy supply, you're going to pay for that cost. And MISO does a detailed engineering analysis about what the upgrades are going to be necessary to accommodate that wind farm or that coal plant or that natural gas plant. And those costs, generally speaking, go back to the producer that brings that new electricity to market.
That's right. And we were just up in Bowbells, North Dakota, with the Public Service Commission. They had a hearing on the Burke Wind Project. And part of that project, they detailed the transmission line. And I think it was going for 19 miles so that they could get the interconnect that they needed. So it's part of the wind farm project.
Fascinating questions, fascinating answers. I love the discussion. I really do. And we're not going to get to everybody today. Greg in Bismarck, Monty in Tioga, Tom in West Fargo, Bob in northern Minnesota, appreciate the fact you're calling, but we'll have to do this again.
Well, we can.
We'll do a part two.
Yeah, we should and again.
Yeah, so keep your questions coming, and we will we'll plan another time to do this. Of course, we've been chatting weekly at the state legislature with our friends from North Dakotans for comprehensive energy solutions. So we're here each week talking about it, and we'll do another one of these where we answer all of your questions. So thanks so much for those calls. Bob, Tammy, thank you.
Thank you, Scott. Great morning.
Take a break. Come back with our final segment next. Don't go away.
If you're headed to Devil's Lake for work, a sports event, or just a hunting or fishing getaway, there is no better place to stay than the Sleep Inn & Suites. They have a delicious hot complimentary breakfast to get your day started right. They have a pool and hot tub to relax after a successful day of fishing. And they recently upgraded with a fresh new modern look and larger than average rooms. The Devil's Lake location also has fish cleaning stations, a dog kennel, and is top rated by their guests. Find out more at sleepin.com and book a room at the Devil's Lake Sleep Inn & Suites.
Oh, yes, it's Matt, the pizza guy here for Pizza Corner Pizza. The craziness of March begins this week as Hoops Mania jumps into full swing. Which 12 seed do you have getting the upset?
Hey, who do you have making a run and going all the way?
Hey, which Pizza Corner Pizza you want me to bring? Are all questions tossed around endlessly over the next several weeks, leading to less productive and unfocused work days, but certainly great memories. And although I can't answer the first two questions, I've got several for the last. A Pizza Corner sausage pepperoni is a slam dunk. A deliciously supreme is a game winner. And you can't defend the chicken Alfredo. Score a Pizza Corner Pizza from your local grocery store today.
The Norwegians are coming.
Sponsored by Fargo Sons of Norway.
Two big Norwegian salmon dinners.
With Juven sauce?
Juven sauce is right.
Friday, March 22nd and March 29th. Tell us about the chef.
The chef is Steinar Vågenes from Bergen, Norway, and he will be putting the entire dinner together for all of us.
Prepared in true Norwegian style with all of the trimmings. Right, Carol?
That is correct.
Tell us about the entertainment. The dinner music is by who?
Dr. David Ferrara, and of course Helen Vågenes will provide the Norwegian folk art music for your listening pleasure and joy, I can assure you.
And anyone that's traveled with you to Norway likely has been treated to that wonderful dinner and music as well, right?
That is correct.
Get your tickets while they last. The Stabo on North Broadway. Fargo Sons of Norway. 701-232-9222. Or Juven Tours and Travel. Call 701-237-9000.
The Norwegians are coming.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGDirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Your mind brought to you in part by Go Wireline. Great place to work. Find your career today at gowireline.com/careers or call them at 701-572-0886. You can also check them out. Stop by the office, Dickinson or Williston. There you go. 11 before the top of the hour, Chris Berg from Point of View, a show you watch evenings at 9:30 on West Dakota Fox, 6:30 on KX4, and if you were watching last week, you saw coverage of the border. He and I were at the border together, and I came back with my eyes wide open about the fact that we have a national emergency on our hands. President Trump is exactly right. 100% right. Who's coughing? Everybody okay?
Sorry, it was my fault. Sorry.
Okay. You all right?
I am.
Just worried for everybody.
Got a little bug in the throat there.
Oh, do you? Yeah. Is Chris on, Daniel?
I haven't heard from him yet.
All right. And but the border was eye-opening. It really was, folks. And I find myself consumed with the thought that we've just got to do everything in our power. Not just treat this like another thing we're concerned about out of 20, right? But make this the thing. The thing. I hope after watching Chris Berg on Point of View and listening to the programs last week, you feel the same way. Here he is, folks. Chris Berg, host of Point of View with Chris Berg. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I was just telling everybody that I feel a little differently coming back from reporting on the border than I have about any story I can ever remember. I mean, we were at the White House the week before with the President of the United States in the diplomatic room, and while that was interesting, I didn't leave there with the, oh my gosh, this is the most important thing in the world, but I feel like that about the border. I feel like all of us need to say, can't just treat this like another thing, another issue, another deal we're concerned about, but really get purposeful in doing everything as individuals, as taxpayers, to get it built. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me was just being down there. It gives, I don't want to speak for you, but it gives me a whole new level to speak from about this situation. I mean, I don't know about you, but on Facebook, for example, whenever I talk about this or during my show, people are calling in, texting, and it's not an emergency, Berg. It's, you know, Trump's making that up. And then you go down there and you hear from actual, you know, Border Patrol agents. You see how quickly Tommy Fisher and Fisher Industries can build this wall to protect the sovereignty of our country. And so the thing I'm most excited about is to have those references now to be able to speak from an experience. I mean, how many people can say they've been chased down by a Department of Homeland Security helicopter?
And we were. And by the way, it wasn't just like hovering above us. It was in the rearview mirror. It was like, down at our level. Yeah,
it was like a Mission Impossible movie where we were like, okay, should we run for the wall or what?
Yeah, no, and I, for one, were glad they were there, and they sent out a Border Patrol and agent in a pickup, and he came to chat with us, and that was great. I was glad, but because we were about the only action at that time of the day. It was a little early for when the real action gets going, but we know now from the numbers in February that this is an off-the-charts nightmare. The first thing we ought to do right now, I'm going to talk to Senator Cramer about it this week, Senator Hovind, Congressman Armstrong, you know, the fact that we release people after 20 days and don't have a system to process them in 20 days is like treasonous. It's ridiculous. Why have a system at all? Then you might as well open up the border. Why house them for 20 days if you're going to let them go anyway? You know, that's just crazy. I don't believe it. Another topic. I want to ask you about Donald Trump and his Twitter storm this weekend. A couple of tweets specifically targeting John McCain. We asked our listeners about it today on the program. And honestly, other than one woman who said she was appalled that she heard so many people speak ill of John McCain. He was a patriot. He was a hero, da-da-da. Most everybody else says, well, he gets what he deserves and supports Donald Trump in this. You say what?
Two things. One is, I think the thing that I'm most disappointed about with this dossier is that, look, Senator McCain, he was the chair of the Armed Services Committee. He clearly had access to the President of the United States or President-elect, where he could have just simply picked up the phone and said, hey, Donald, you know, I'm hearing this stuff about from this dossier, you know, what's true, what's not true. He doesn't do that. I mean, you and I both know we could have made that phone call. Instead, he hands it over to the FBI. And one of the things that many people, there's an interesting article if you want to go check this out, Scott, but it was in the Daily Beast, and it was a story about Trump when he wanted to get some financing for a project back in New York. And he ended up calling Jerry Nadler, Fat Jerry, back in the day when Jerry was part of the New York City Council. Well, I don't know if you know this, Scott, but Senator John McCain also got up on the Senate floor back then and opposed any of this, you know, financing or tax breaks for President Trump and then obviously just Donald Trump's project. So I think that's always kind of reared in Donald Trump's back of his mind, and I think that's why he initially even made the comment about, hey, I like heroes that aren't caught. So, and then when you get the thumbs down after a guy that, you know, campaigned forever on to repeal and replace Obamacare, Trump's going to go after him.
Yeah, I don't know that I would send out a tweet about somebody that's died, even if I was really mad at him. But, you know, to this information is new. It is now proven that he, in fact, was, you know, dispatching somebody to get the dossier and then, as you say, not going to Trump, but going to, the swamp, where that he was of the swamp. So, you know, to me, Donald Trump is right to be ticked at John McCain, no question about it. I would be, too, given what he's been through. So that's totally plausible. Tonight on Point of View, you're chatting with Congressman Kelly Armstrong. What's the topic?
Yeah, so we're going to be talking about, I mean, his chief of staff was down at the demo for the Department of Homeland Security when you and I were down there last Wednesday. So I want to share sort of what his feedback was from that experience from his chief of staff, and now what's next? I think you said it so brilliantly last week when you said, look, Chris, I think we've got to now take this into our own hands as Americans and start saying to people, look, you've got to call your congressman. You've got to call your senator.
Absolutely. You've got to take action.
This outside the Army Corps purview. So join us tonight, 6:30 p.m. on the Eastern Part of the State, 9:30 p.m. on West Dakota Fox out west.
God bless you, folks. See you tomorrow. We're back with Vince Webker, Hot Springs Plaza Pool Tables 2, with locations in Grand Forks, Fargo, Bismarck, Minot, Devil's Lake. Folks, come on in. Check it out. And I don't know about you, but I'm sick of winter. But I tell you what, it's a lot better with a hot spring spa. Never go through another winter like this without a hot spring spa. Tell me why, Vince.
Well, it's a way to, like, beat Mother Nature, if that's possible. It allows you to get to your backyard. Even when it's 30 below out, you're still sitting in an environment that's 100-plus degrees, and it's wonderful. And, you know, you can't stay inside all winter, right? So this is not only a great wellness product physically, mentally, and relationally, but it gets you out of the house into your backyard where, you know, can your neighbors say they were in their backyard with 10 feet of snow last night in their bathing suit? Probably not.
It's fantastic. Life-changing, in fact. And it's more than just a hot tub, right, Vince?
Yeah, it's every day made better. And you sit in this, you're better physically, you're better mentally, you're better relationally, you're better.
Check it out online at hotspringnd.com or stop and see them, 1620 13th Avenue East, West Fargo.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Ew, get the stinky dog away from me.
Bad breath and bad gas.
PD stopped eating. All his hair fell out.
Itching, licking, missing fur.
At least $5,000 in vet bill.
Creams, antibiotics, sprays.
No results.
Everything we tried failed except the Dynavite.
DINOVITE.com.
If you want the dog to be healthy, you got to feed it something healthy.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Dynavite.
is nutrition.
The shedding has stopped and the itching has stopped.
Her coat is now soft, it's silky, it's healthy and shiny and glossy.
She's got life, she's got energy.
Tons of energy, no more bad smell.
Dynavite's the bomb.
Dynavite is the best thing that's ever happened to my dogs, you know, besides me, of course.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dynavite for life.
DINOVITE.com.